Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem BPW, share number 131, Bais Pnimi Women share number 131. It is very important to remember, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created males and females very different from each other, and we need to celebrate those differences. If life would be different and they would be very similar to each other, you may think that that would avoid a lot of problems, but it would lose out on the added richness and diversity and excitement and joys to marriage. Hashem purposefully and intentionally made males and females to be very different from one another. And those differences do create many challenges, but at the same time, when we learn how to navigate through those differences and those challenges, it brings a uniqueness and a beauty to our marriage. And generally speaking, and of course, it could be different, but overall, the brains and sexual organs of males and females are wired very differently from one another, for the most part. And of course, there's many exceptions to this rule, but generally speaking, men are aroused by visual stimuli. That's why they have so many halachas and gedarim more than women pertaining to Shmiras Einayim, watching their eyes, because a husband can just look at his wife and become aroused right away. And that's very normal in a male's world. It's just the way Hashem wired him. Doesn't mean he's a pervert. It just means he's a normal, healthy human being. A woman, generally, is more complex. Generally, they need to warm up first. Sex therapists and researchers say that many women take as long as 20, 30 minutes to become aroused during the sexual intimate relationship. The metaphor they compare men and women's sexual responses between microwaves and crockpots, you know, between the immediate quick response versus the slower gradual response. Studies show that, of course, you know, in the tertiary world, we have to work on ourselves on this, but men naturally think about the sex every couple of minutes, while women may be days and they don't think about it at all. And even months could pass by and they don't think about it at all. Of course, this is all generally speaking. Of course, you have natures that sometimes are reverse. But generally speaking, women just simply aren't wired to think about sex as frequently as men do. That doesn't make women prudes or something wrong with them, chas v'shalom. But it doesn't mean that men who are wired to think about it often doesn't mean they're perverts, chas v'shalom. You know, it's a natural nature. Now, what you do with your nature, that requires work, and that requires, that's where the avodah of a person is. And it's such a commonly understood issue, but at the same time, we don't really pay attention to it, and we get frustrated by it. And we forget that it's obvious, or it's breaking news to us. And we get dismayed when we get into some tensions because of these differences in the sexual interest between a husband and a wife. But the aside is that even though we recognize the differences, many of us never take the time to study them or to appreciate them or to pursue those differences as being good and worthy and working through them to make the most of it. See, here is where you can't just say, I'm going to treat my husband the way I would want to be treated in this area. You can't say that because it's different needs. That's a big misunderstanding. It's similar to saying in Hilchos Lashon Hara that I say on a Talmud Chacham that is supposed to learn all day long, that he only learns 1 hour a day. That's Lashon Hara. And one could respond, well, how could you say such Lashon Hara? And they respond, well, halavai, they should say on me, I learn a day, an hour a day. That would be Lashon Tov on me. That's a beautiful thing. So what's wrong? I'm not saying anything wrong. It's a compliment. The answer is no, it's negative. Because for me, it's a compliment, maybe, because I'm tied up the whole day with tirdus and everything. So learning an hour with Mesiras Nefesh is a good thing. For the other person that's supposed to learn all day long because he has the time, saying he only learns 1 hour a day is negative. Same thing over here. It's not, you can't just simply say, I want to treat my husband the way I'm treated in this area because you have different needs. And it goes the other way around too. He needs to be sensitive to your needs. So, but the key is not to resign yourselves to a boring life sexually or a non-existing life sexually. It's worth very much to work on these differences, to complement each other, to balance each other, to fit together as one, and to focus on each other's needs. Now, when we speak to the husbands, of course, we talk to them about it very often, that they need to get engaged more emotionally, generally speaking. And women need to learn how to work on relaxing themselves or getting themselves into a mode. Once the husband does that emotional connection, to get to a point to be willing to make the effort to want to be physically intimate. And once they're in that mode, they'll enjoy themselves tremendously. But it takes work, just like it takes work for some husbands to engage emotionally. So they both need to do their inner work. And we waste time and energy trying to shape our spouses into the clones of what we are sexually, and we get frustrated and we get disappointed. And we pout and we walk away and we withdraw, or we sulk pertaining to those differences instead of just appreciating it and working on it with each other. The real pneumius of it is that our deepest desire, whether we're female, is to become one. Just like Hashem is one, we have a pull to emulate Hashem and connect to His oneness. And Hashem placed it in this world to feel and sense this oneness when a husband and wife are one with one another on an emotional level, but also on the physical realm of a zivug. That's why the Shechem is there then, and that's why there's Shalom there. When there's Shalom there, and it's used right, the Shechinah is there. So it's true, the husband generally may want more physical intercourse more than his wife would want it. And a wife would want more what we would call emotional intercourse, or just emotional connectivity, more than the husband does. So the key really is to meld the two. To meld the physical and emotional intercourse and connection in the intimate experience, and they'll find a pathway to have a wonderful, great sexual connection in their lives that they will both want and both desire, because they'll both have their needs filled. And that doesn't mean that men only want physical, doesn't mean women only want the emotional. And again, for many women, and then in couples, it's really reverse. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some men are wired that they may not be inclined so much on the physical, and they want the emotional. They're those type of men. There are many of them there. And there are many women that they have a different personality, and the emotional is not so much of a strong need for them, and they want the physical more, or they want both more, whatever the case may be, but both need both. That's the bottom line. Hashem wired it that we both need both. Some of these needs are more hidden, some of these needs are more revealed, but they both need it. Now, with a male, most husbands, the way it works is like this. They could use, it's really their choice, and we speak to men about it on their end. They need to use that when they're engaged in physical intimacy, that the physical act of sex should not be isolated just to fulfill his needs or just as a physical experience. He has an opportunity then to use the physical act of sex to open up his feelings and allow himself to become more vulnerable and showing emotion and care towards his wife. And for most husbands that are erlich and straight and have Shmir Seinayim, that's what happens. It may seem like they have a one-track mind. It may seem that their brain is just wired for the physicality of it, but they're just simply more visually stimulated. But if they have Shmir Seinayim from the streets and they're focusing just on their wives and they use it right, then this closeness, this physical intimate pull that they have, and they use it the right way, that is an opening to open up their emotions and heal themselves and heal their wives by being more emotional and caring in that sense. And they feel safe that way if a wife embraces that vulnerability when the husband finally expresses it that way. It's very healing for him as well. And once he learns how to do this, once he learns that, yes, he's visually stimulated, he's sexually interested, and he does the physical acts of whatever he does, but if by doing that he works on himself to use it the right way, and through this the emotional connection comes out stronger and stronger, that's where the relationship gets better and better. So a husband sometimes will invite his wife to come in sexually through sex, the intimacy. And the wife will invite her husband and say, let's be intimate to connect emotionally. And together they make that satisfying whole. Together they complement each other. So through sexual intimacy, both the emotional aspects of it and the physical aspects of it, Hashem is basically saying, be vulnerable, work with each other, give to each other. He's telling men, even if men or some men or many men connect physically more, he calls upon, Hashem calls upon the men to connect emotionally with their wives. In order to have their physical needs met, they need to connect emotionally. And he calls upon the women, for those women that are hard, that it's much, you know, that it's not as natural to them, to try their best to connect physically with their husbands in order to have their emotional needs met. Of course, a husband on their end, we always speak that he has to learn how to develop that emotional connection all the time. And that will make a wife feel more safe and more ready to be vulnerable on the physical level of it. We're going to talk Metz Hashem in the upcoming Shiurim, together with those other sets of Shiurim that we're giving, which we alternate on, in regarding to what the real needs overall based on studies within the intimate relationship, what the men's main needs are and what the women's main needs are, and to learn about each other's needs and give to each other in that area and understand it. And that takes a commitment and a communication. Doesn't mean you pressure each other, chas v'shalom. That's not the purpose of it. It's just working through with each other. It takes hard work and it takes intentionality. The way it works is if each one stubbornly refuses to initiate a change, they'll remain stuck. So obviously we tell the men, you initiate the change. And of course on the women's side, you initiate the change. If you're both initiating real change to make things better in all areas of life, but in this area as well, then things will improve dramatically. There's no reason to believe that it can't. There's no reason to believe that your marriage, all aspects of their marriage, can be many, many times better than it is right now by you both willing to initiate the change, not focusing on did she meet my needs? Did he meet my needs? Initially, you may feel your needs are not being met, but the more committed you are, the more you'll see your husband begin to soften and want to meet your needs. Of course, when we talk to the husbands, we make it very strong there. The mashpia, they really have to do a lot of the heavy lifting and work in a way more than the women do. So when we're talking here, I want to make it very clear for all the women that are listening that we do stress that point. We are not saying, just let the husband sit back and the women do the work to emotionally and physically connect. No, it's a two-way street. It's always a two-way street. And the men do need to do their heavy work. And they need to develop those skills to work on connecting emotionally or physically in the right way. So the discussion about sexuality is very important. Not in a way to chas v'shalom create arguments and things like that, but it's more like an invitation to work together, not to debate differences, but to listen to each other. To understand what your husband's saying, repeat it. You express what you need. Express, let's say sometimes, because you know your husband may be overly eager, may touch you prematurely. Not that you don't want to be touched, but it's too early. You're not ready for it yet. So he needs to sometimes be, and then you get upset about it. But if you didn't tell him directly or use different words, that he'll get hurt, then he won't get the message. But if you're both on this zone of working with each other and compassionate with each other, then let's say he does something like that, then you could train him and you basically say, I would love you to touch me this way and that way, but I'm not ready yet. It'll take me a little more time. I want a first emotional connection, or I need you to touch me first in safer areas. And then when I get into that mode, then you'll be able to touch me in different ways. The communication of it, talking about it, is not easy sometimes, and it could be draining, and you don't like all of a sudden overload information in one discussion, but you start talking about these things and in a slow, gradual way with your husband until the point where you really, really get to a point where there is a true understanding and a true connectivity, most of the time the husband will be thrilled to want to meet your needs once he understands what he needs to do and how he needs to do it in clear communication. Very often, and I speak to many men, it's simply that they're puzzled because they don't know. And a lot of things they misunderstand because they're not told, and people don't like talking about it because of tznius, because of other reasons. But in this area between a husband and wife, they need to have these communications, because then you could, in a soft, subtle way, explain, I really love this, but this is not something I'm ready for right now. Give it a little time. Even within the interactions, it takes time to warm up. I'm not there yet. And then I am there. And then you explain that. And over time, it gets better and better. But it's a worthwhile investment to work on this area in life in a real serious way. Of course, you could daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and should for siyata d'shmaya in this area in life, just like in any other area of life overall and any other area of married life overall. You need Hashem siyata d'shmaya all the time. So what makes you think that you don't need His siyata d'shmaya in the physical, sexual, intimate life? You need siyata d'shmaya there as well, and in a way even more. So you ask Hashem for the help. And you ask Hashem to help you open up to each other in a healthy way and to learn about each other's needs and to be more aligned with one another so you both could be happy and feel fulfilled. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. You're sincere about it. You do your work, each one, with their work that they're supposed to do, and Hashem helps. And you have tremendous siyata d'shmaya to improve this area in marriage, which will ultimately improve all areas in marriage and in life. Bracha v'atzlacha.